Our man BA is joining us. Brandon Adams, Jaden Hazelwood. Let's get right down to it and what's going on with him.
You know, it's to me, he was always Jordan. He was just that guy that I felt like could not afford to lose. And now it appears that, at least for now, Georgia has lost him. And I do think this is a pretty significant story because I think one of the things that we're all going to be like trying to look to see answers for is why it was that he decommitted. What did he not see about Georgia that he wanted to see? And there, you know, potentially a number of things that could possibly be. I mean, obviously, I'm in the speculation business, so I'm not afraid to speculate. Was it, you know, not seeing more of Demetrius Robertson, who was also himself a former five-star wide receiver? Was it not seeing more of Justin Fields as of yet? Even though Fields played a good bit at the game that Hazelwood attended on Saturday, Fields didn't really throw the ball very much. Is the Georgia offense right now too conservative for Hazelwood? I think that's all, you know, kind of worth exploring here. I mean, if it really is about going to play for Mark Richt because Richt tutored A.J. Green, I guess I would also ask, well, what other receivers did Mark Richt put into the first round of the NFL draft? Because in kind of a long career at Georgia, you know, a counterpart to A.J. Green, I think you'd be hard-pressed to really find examples of. Georgia had good receivers. Rarely did it have one as great as A.J. Green. Should Richt have had more than that over the course of his career? I think those are fair questions to answer. And I think, you know, Hazelwood, with all due respect to guys like Dominic Blaylock who are still in this class, if he indeed does stay – you know, outside this class, if this decommitment sticks, that's a player that Georgia is going to be hard pressed to replace. There aren't a lot of talents as rare as what Hazelwood possesses.
And Brandon, Sam and I've already talked about it this morning, but as far as the specifics, but could this have also had something to do with the alleged incident that happened in the stands on Saturday?
You know, that's a really provocative question. I think all of us are probably in the position of saying that we don't know. It could be that's a coincidence. What I will say is this, is that, you know, it's obviously somewhat weird to have a decommitment come on the heels of a visit. A lot of times you think about commitments coming on the heels of a visit. A decommitment coming on the heels of a visit can be a little bit of a weird thing. You know, we don't know if he went to Georgia to tell the coaches face-to-face that he was decommitting, in other words. I mean, obviously what happened with the allegations against Adam Sasser, the baseball player in the student section, that's obviously an unfortunate situation for Georgia. I don't think I'm in the position to say, you know, even speculate about whether that's connected to this, because there are a lot of other football reasons where I think, you know, Hazelwood was considering this beforehand. Plus, he has been very much on the record, including, you know, an interview I got a chance to do with him last year, where he made no bones about the fact that he was looking visit. So this is not something that I think that he does really lightly at all, but it's also not something that he hasn't been considering, and there's plenty of circumstantial evidence to point to the fact that he was already considering this before whatever may or may not have gone down with Adam Sasser happened.
Talking with Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
Yeah, and Brandon, it's just really unfortunate when you have a situation like this go down for a number of reasons. First and foremost, the fact that, you know, not just in 2018, but in any time period, behavior like that should be completely unacceptable.
Sure.
But at the same time, I feel like that, you know, maybe some good that could come out of something like this is an opportunity for UGA to, once all of their ducks are in a row here, because due process has to be seen out, but it's a chance for them to come out and really hit the hammer on the nail in terms of how unacceptable this is. And if it happens here at UGA, that it's going to be dealt with swiftly and severely.
Yeah, I think that's right, Sam. And the other thing I feel strongly about this is, if, you know, we assume that the allegations are out there are true, and that's heinous if that is indeed the case. And
we've just been saying alleged over and over and over and over and over.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And if it ends up being true, David, here's what I believe. This is a baseball story, not a football story. Now, the three of us all like college baseball. David, I know that you do because you broadcast the games. We're all fans of the sport. I love listening to Georgia baseball on 960 The Wrap. But it is a baseball story, not a football story. If a football player had said something derogatory about a baseball player, then it's a football story, something for Kirby Smart to deal with. You know, Kirby Smart's obviously going to be asked about this yesterday, and he answered that. But moving forward, I think the onus is on Georgia baseball about how it responds to this and not so much about Georgia football. Now, I'm not so naive to assume that because he allegedly said this about a football player, that makes the ramifications of all this much more severe. I'm not naive. I know that's the case. But I think what you're going to see here is some in the national media that try to turn this into a football story. You know, in CBS, and some of those major national outlets covered this. They made sure they had Justin Fields in the headline because obviously that makes the whole thing all the more salacious and all the more, worth dialing, dialing into. But on the ground in Athens where you're broadcasting and around Dog Nation where I'm kind of a part of, this is really a issue for the baseball team to deal with more so than the football team to deal with. It sounds like, according to Kirby Smart, Justin Fields is kind of shaken this off and gotten over that. I have great respect for him because he's already in a big spotlight. Something like this only intensifies that spotlight. He handles every single moment of this with incredible class and poise. This is another example of that. But, moving forward, I really believe that the action on this rests with Scott Strickland, the baseball team, more so than Kirby Smart and the football team.
Talking with Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. Looking back a little bit to the Tennessee game, speaking of Fields, he did have some significant moments. I know there were a couple of things that didn't go well either, but what's your feeling on what we're going to start seeing with him? More and more, I know like the Missouri game played one snap, then you come back against Tennessee here and runs for a couple of touchdowns. And I know that has a lot of the Georgia fans, salivating as to what he can do.
Sure.
But what are you thinking on him?
I talked about this on Monday a little bit. I think that there's a temptation to see this as a quarterback controversy because Fromm comes out for Fields to come in. But I'm a big believer that the reason why Fields needs to be in games right now is not because of a deficiency with Jake Fromm. Fromm's numbers actually still look really good. Even on Saturday, a game in which he yielded some time to Fields, the completion percentage was still about 72%, if memory serves. And, the yards per attempt weren't quite as high as you're used to seeing from Fromm, but it was still like 8.5 or something like that. That's not exactly the kind of thing that would typically get you benched. The reason why Fields needs to play right now is because I believe that he's Georgia's best running back. There is just a spark missing from this Georgia running game right now that at first blush it's almost unnoticeable because the overall stats don't necessarily look that bad. But on Saturday, Georgia only got 5 yards or more on like 32% of its first down runs. I think it was like 6 of 19 or something to the effect there when it comes to that. That's well below what we've come to expect in this Georgia offense. When you're not gaining yards on first down on the ground, you're making second down harder than it needs to be, and you're making third down harder than it needs to be. Y'all know, in addition to talking about Georgia for a living, I'm also a big Georgia fan. Speaking as a fan, I'll tell you both that if Georgia's at LSU and it needs a first down to keep a big drive alive and the best decisions to run the football, I want Fields running the football right now more so than, with all due respect to DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield and maybe even Brian Herrien. I want Fields getting that carry, and right now that's why he's got to be in the game. It's not because Fromm's ineffective throwing the ball. It's because right now, at least in some aspects, Georgia's kind of ineffective running the ball.
Brandon, I wanted to lighten things up here for a second and ask you a question about some guys we saw in Athens this past weekend. Outside of, guys that are actively playing football or active participants in the games, is Herschel Walker and Ric Flair the greatest combination of star power that's ever been on the field at Sanford Stadium at the same time?
I'm out to everybody else, Sam. I saw that, the way that picture of those two guys floating around social media, and that was a really cool thing to see, first of all, because Herschel Walker looks like he could be the WWE champion or the NWA, WCW champion right now. He's in incredible shape for, I guess, 50-plus, whatever he is at this point in time in his life. So, that's an incredibly cool thing. But to see, Flair there on Saturday, it was all smiles. Obviously, he's a proud for his daughter and just kind of, I guess, in kind of a nice stage of his life here not all that long ago. So he seems to be in a pretty good place. He was in a great mood, all smiles, standing there next to Herschel Walker. And I don't mind telling you, for a child who came of age during the 80s, those are two pretty significant icons to have standing side by side. And that aspect of having both those guys, Herschel calling the dogs, got a huge ovation. I am still very proud to know that a lot of that Sanford Stadium crowd, most of which is younger than me, still have great respect for Herschel Walker, even though they weren't old enough to see him play. I'm just barely old enough to have seen him play, so I know a lot of the audience is not old enough to have seen him play, but they still gave him a huge ovation to him, which means they respect Georgia football history, which is a nice thing to see. And you know what? Seeing a little pro wrestling history respect is not a bad thing for me either.
Yeah, that was good star power. And Herschel does have a year of eligibility remaining, so, you know, maybe he could, could use that also. He's only 56, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, listen, I don't know that he's tailback anymore, but as like a tight end or a linebacker, a defensive end, he may absolutely be about.
Brandon, thanks for getting back on with us, and hopefully we got everything taken care of. Always great to talk to you, and looking forward to hearing you later today, either at 10 o'clock on Facebook Live or for Dog Nation Daily or from noon to 1 here on The Ref. Thanks so much, Brandon.
Yeah, always fun to be with you guys. Have a great day.
All right, Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily.